Hi guys, welcome back to the bonus episode of the Criterionaut podcast. It has been a little bit of a couple weeks. I fucked up last week. I was supposed to have a call with Anna the Monday before last. Yeah, and I fucked it up. I fucked up the scheduling. I misread when we were supposed to have the call, and I just, you know, I needed a day to get some equipment and get prepared, and I didn't have that already. So when Michael, her assistant, texted to say, "Hey, you still on for today at 2:00? I was like, "Oh fuck, no, I don't, I physically can't do it." So, in the end, I probably could have, but Lara wasn't available that day either, and so it just, yeah. I screwed up. And then I had a backup guest who just didn't show up. And so there was no episode the week before last, but hopefully I've made it up to you with some great guests, and I have some extra content from Anna herself and from Kiwi, Kirsten Smith, who was one of the writers of The House Bunny. So let's hear what she has to say about pitching in Hollywood, the movie The House Bunny. I was talking with Anna yesterday, and she said that you guys pitched House Bunny 24 times.
Yes, I think that's the right number.
Yeah.
It was a lot. We spent a whole summer pitching it. Mm-hmm. And it got better and better, and we really had our own, like a little like Carney roadshow pretty much we were out there hustling it around. We had like pieces memorized, little bits.
Did you like perform parts of the script, or did you? Like,
we did. Yeah. I mean, she
did. Anna go with you, or did you?
Yeah,
do
she
some,
went with she us.
Oh, okay. Because she went said, with us. That's funny. She said that you would know more about it, about the pitching, and I just assumed that you and Karen, had gone in mostly.
We went with the three of us.
Okay, amazing.
So we developed the pitch over, might have been almost a year of development, maybe from the time she first told us the idea for the character,
yeah,
and the concept of the concept she had in her head, where the character went when she first pitched it to us was really a different version.
The meth addict.
Yeah, exactly.
has a super dark past in The House Bunny, but like, yeah,
But we developed it with her. We pitched her, what if she's a house mother? She was kind of like, okay, let me think about that. That's good. And then we came back to her with a more of a story, and then we brainstormed, and then we came back to her again with a little bit more and kind of a few. Then we went into like rehearsal mode for the pitch and really turn it into like I say this, she would tee it up, then Karen and I would say something, then she says, it was very scripted.
Wow.
But Anna would sort of start by saying, I kind of picture the character is like the type of person who's a little bit like this, and then she'd say like she's the, and then it, she would kind of ease into doing bits and lines, and then there would be moments in the pitch where one of us would kind of be acting opposite her in a scene that we were pitching out. It was really fun.
Oh my
so
God.
We would just make each other laugh. And then sometimes even I'd get like a little emotional and teared up at certain moments in the pitch sometimes. Yeah. Cause you know, she's so on Anna's so sweet. She's so like present and vulnerable and hilarious that, you know, you kind of get into it. Really.
Yeah. So then actual concept or the story itself change while you were pitching, or did it?
No.
You just evolved the pitch itself.
We would adjust lines.
Yeah.
After every pitch, we would be like, oh yeah, that didn't work. Let's bump it up a little. So I felt like we were always improving it, just even micro ways. Probably after time number 15, we stopped, like, yeah. but certainly the first dozen times we would like sit together like on a studio lot after the pitch and go through and be like, oh yeah, well I remember, let's change this to this, and then we like redo the document a little bit and reprint it. I mean, we had them printed with each of our parts highlighted.
Oh my God, that's so
cool. Yeah, we were never fully all the way off book, because you know there'd be three of us sitting on a sofa and we kind of would have that. It's kind of like an elevated cold read or something, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, you've got your pages, but you're still performing them as you go. It's
And was that the, is that the highest number of pitches you had to do for a movie?
I think
it was like, is that very unusual?
It was pretty aggressive.
Yeah, considering both of you and Karen and Anna had had great successes. Yeah. And
it wasn't a bad thing though, because, well, for many of the pitches were meeting with producers. So the first dozen or so pitches were like us going and pitching to producers and then them deciding on maybe we go with this producer into this particular studio. So we never had like one producer with us at all the time. We were the producers. We were in charge of who it was, and then we were hoping to partner with someone who had juice at a studio, and then they would take us in. So
yeah,
we had different producers for each studio. Wow. And so that was kind of the first half of the pitches were those. And then, I went over before we went into studios, I went to her house and we sort of said, like, what should you wear? And maybe this short skirt and maybe this. Like, we kind of got lightly into character without going full full costume.
Full Mona May.
Yeah. But also, I think it was good for her, too, because, you know, it was the first time she was coming in with a project that she was producing. And mm-hmm. it was great for us, too, because it's better if you're a writer to be with your leading actor than it is to just be on your own, imagine this person in the role. Actually had the star of the movie sitting in between us.
That's
like
huge.
Performing pieces of the movie and talking about why she cared about it so much.
I had this conspiracy theory that it was because it's just such a female centered movie that it took that long.
Though I think she, you know, she had not, she'd starred in a bunch of movies, but she hadn't carried her own comedy vehicle yet.
Yeah.
And I think it is interesting that it took Adam, there were a lot of people that were interested in the movie, but it took Adam Sandler signing on as a producer and for him to give his stamp of approval, like thumbs up, you know, he produced so many starring vehicles for so many of his friends, you know, whether it's Spade or I don't know. I just feel like he was kind of giving us his blessing.
Yeah.
And she'd been in The Hot Chick with him producing with Rob Schneider.
Oh my God.
And so, we needed his blessing ultimately because we were very close at a lot of studios, but no one was pulling the trigger because no one really went. They all were like, we love her and we love Karen and Kiwi, but we don't know yet. So we needed him. We needed a man to validate us for sure. A powerful studio leading man.
It's an excerpt of my chat with Kiwi Smith. She's going to be guest on Thursday. We talked about postcards from the Edge, and had an amazing talk. She really knows that movie inside and out and just had a lot of great things to say. So we're kind of back to talking fully about the movie and why it's great. I loved talking with Anna, but I am not an interviewer, a good interviewer in terms of asking a celebrity about themselves and about their role. And I can't, it's very uncomfortable for me because I want to feel free to be critical of things. And I felt like with Anna, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to be very critical with the House Bunny, but it did kind of cast this we have to be careful what we say because we didn't want to say anything shitty about the movie. And I think, you know, Anna was fairly real about how challenging it was to work with the fresh actors. And she was super great. And we thought she only had 5 minutes to talk and she ended up talking for 45. So that was very cool. Yeah, just kind of changed the format of the show, the pod, a little bit, which is fine. But I'm excited to get back to the original format with just two of us next week. And I think like moving forward, if I ever get a big celeb on again, I want to talk with them about their favorite movie and just have natural conversations about their own projects on the side. But, you know, for example, when I get Reese Witherspoon on to talk about Waiting for Guffman, we're going to chat about that. But, you know, I'll casually ask her a little bit about House Bunny, Legally Blonde. It's funny that she goes to that party in the House Bunny. That Reese Witherspoon goes to that Halloween party in Legally Blonde as a Playboy bunny. I just realized that right now. God, they're in the same universe. They're kind of the same movie. they're not. I'm being a dick now. All right. Here's Anna. Do you have, what was I going to ask? Oh, do you have a go-to song for karaoke?
I have strong feelings about karaoke. I'm a terrible singer and I don't even know if this would be a karaoke song, but that Take Me Back to Manhattan song from Anything Goes. See, it's not, they probably don't have musical. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, is that the song from the beginning of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Yes. Nice call. Oh,
good call.
Yes.
Wait, I feel like we have a psychic connection because I was going to ask you if you have ever shown your son Temple of Doom.
Oh,
or if
yes.
That would be like too scary.
Not only have I shown him that many a time, I got him there. I went to the store and they had the rocks. They had like the like these rock replicas of like the whatever the sacred
the crystals rock. Like yeah. The crystal like yeah. Egg type thing
yeah that helps you like cool. Penetrate somebody's heart with your bare hand.
Incredible. Don't Kelly put all Ma. Three of them yeah. together because you never know what could happen.
Oh,
that's a
think,
good song.
Don't you guys think that Harrison Ford is so brilliant at like walking the line between being such a dude's dude or whatever that stereotype is, and then having those moments where he clocks fear in his eyes, where it's so humanizing, and that's a hard quality, I think, to for a leading man to like it's wonderful because you get to go on the journey with him as opposed to being like, I don't know,
yeah,
not, like I could. I don't know, bring up some other actors, but maybe I will be working with them with any luck. I don't know. In the future, I probably won't be. Jason Statham.
I haven't thought about that, to be honest.
No, yeah. If, like, he's scared, you know that it's really scary.
Yeah, yeah, because he's looking, he clocks things with a subtlety and a, like, and fear and also a bit of bemusement. And cavalierness, is that a word? I don't know, but
totally.
But that is it's amazing to watch his face in those movies. It's like, of course you're a fucking huge ass movie star because you're doing like eight things at once, even though you make it look like you're just doing one thing. I don't know. All right, Harrison.
He's one of the greats.
Hear this. Yeah. okay, yeah. Okay, wait. So I should sing, right? In golden days.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Take me back to Manhattan. Take me back to New York. I'm just longing to see once more my little home on the 100th floor. Wait, is that the right one? Show me, show me, show me.
Love it.
Anything goes in golden days. Or something. Where's the diamond? Where's the antidote? I don't know.
You don't even need the words.
See you later, Lao Shay.
Oh my God.
Is it need Lao Shay, right? Please.
It is Lao Shay, right? I think it's Lao Shay.
Yeah, I think so.
Lao Shay. See you later, Lao Shay.
So as you can tell, Laura and Anna had some psychic connection. They really connected. What you couldn't tell is that I was seething with jealousy over that. I was so mad. I wanted to be the funny one that Anna fell in love with. That's fine. Laura has so much charm. She can't help but attract the love of the world. good for her. Here's a bit more of Lara and myself talking about the call after it was over, my nerves while trying to juggle that crazy technical setup that I patched together, and just how shitty I am at phone calls anyway.
Oh God, I'm exhausted. That was very hard for me. Did you feel me? Did you feel me shaking?
I could tell that you were nervous because I did see you shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
And then your stomach started rumbling, which
that
I think
was mine. I thought that was yours.
Mine did too.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like with you, it's like sometimes a symptom of nerves when your stomach goes.
I haven't really eaten that much today. oh God.
I want Anna to give me a makeover, house bunny style.
Oh my God, skimpified.
To skimpify me. And I also love that hunchback, whoever was not Heather McDonald. Also, that character, Heather, like, is maybe battling, like, she has some sort of, like, syndrome or something.
Yeah, maybe I should check that out before we totally rip her down.
Well, because when they go to volunteer at the old folks' home.
And she does that, like,
she does, like, a football weird dance thing
through. I think she's just was big.
She just loved, I knew a girl growing up that moved like that.
I meant big as in, like, big performance, but yeah, someone who moved like that.
I meant, like, just, like, hurled her body forward. Yeah.
But it was, like, borderline. Is she trying to represent a mental disability? Or there was a girl in my computer class you just reminded me, and her name was Christiane, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to have to be bonus content, or I'll bleep out the name. But we used to call her Krusty Entrails.
and
she was, I hate to say it, because I just...
Was she crusty? Like,
I don't know. Everyone is kind of crusty from where I came from, so, like, very small town, rural. But I, in computer class, she sat across from me, so the back of her computer was facing me, so I would switch her mouse with mine,
mm-hmm,
and just, like, confuse the hell out of her.
I like that.
But she did ask one day, we were learning how to, like, make animated GIFs almost, and mm-hmm, she was like, but if we want to print it, how do we make it move on the paper? Uh-oh.
Krusty.
Krusty entrails.
Krusty entrails. You shut your mouth.
Well, that's about it for this week's Bone Gone. Thank you so much for continuing to be patrons. I hope this is still as fun for you as it is for me. You might have noticed that I didn't do the karaoke this week, and it's not... I think I'm dropping it as a feature. There are a couple reasons. Lara and I sang the House Bunny version of Like a Virgin, where they get made fun of, where they get the wrong words. And I forgot that the R word was in it, and I wasn't totally comfortable putting that out at the end of the episode. But then the next day when I went to Kiwi's to record, I asked her if she would want to sing with me. And I said, no pressure. I always say no pressure. You don't have to. But she did it, I think, a little bit reluctantly. And then I rushed it and I didn't get the setup that I needed, and it was hard to hear the song that we were singing, and the song was really hard to sing, and so we both sounded really, really bad, and we both got really, really embarrassed. And then she was like, oh my God, make it stop. So I shut it off, and then I was just like, I don't think I need to put people in that position anymore. I think it's fine with, like, close friends, but as the pod grows and grows and we get more and more people, I think I just don't feel comfortable asking people I don't know very well to sing karaoke with me, especially when we haven't been drinking. It's kind of rude, but I'll keep playing little songs at the end here. Thanks again. Send me anything. Just, you can talk about anything with me. All right. Talk soon. Bye. This isn't a phone call. Whatever. Bye.
So dumb right now, standing out.
outside my house, trying to apologize. You're so ugly when you cry. Please just cut it out. Don't tell me you're sorry, 'cause you're not. Baby, when I know you're only sorry you got caught. But you put on quite a show, really had me going. But now it's time to go. Curtains finally closing. That was quite a show, very entertaining. You put on quite a show.